produced by Zion Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts. It's on page 1164, and we read Acts 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of Acts is also a companion volume, so to speak. Luke, the author of the Gospel, wrote Acts and also wrote the Gospel by his name. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, found on page 1249. And we read verses 15 through 23. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, would the children come forward to sing, and then we'll have the children's message. You may all sit down someplace. Well, I have some really good news to really share with everybody here today. I have a new granddaughter. She's about this big, and her name is Jaden Rose. And she's not here this week, but hopefully we'll be baptizing her next week. And you know, taking care of little babies has changed a lot since we had our children. You know, when we first had our children, one of the things we had to do is give them naps. How many of you take naps still? Raise your hands. Anybody out here take naps still? Yeah. People like naps, okay? And the amazing thing when you have more than one child in the house, brothers and sisters can make all kinds of noise and babies don't wake up. It's like they're used to it. But something I figured out really early, when we would put our new babies down for their naps, when we'd go out, and then when we wanted to check on them, when I was a dad, well, I'm still a dad, but when I was a dad with a little baby in my house, I'd have to go and open the door just a little bit and peek in. And you know what happened every time I did that? Just to check and see if they were okay, guess what happened? They cried and they wake up and they wouldn't take their naps. I don't know why, but brothers and sisters could make all kinds of noise. But if I turned that door handle just a little bit, they'd wake up. Well, thanks to modern technology, parents these days don't have to do that anymore. How many of you have a little baby in your house right now? Do you have a baby monitor? No? Do you have a baby monitor? No, you don't? Oh, you still have to turn the door handle? You poor thing. Well, Jaden, that's my new granddaughter. She's got this wonderful thing called a baby monitor. And we can take that with us all kinds of places and watch her and listen to her, and we don't even have to be there. Isn't that cool? Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Because now we don't have to turn the door handle and they don't wake up anymore and they take their naps. Well, today we're celebrating the ascension of our Lord also. And it's a great day because Christ is enthroned in heaven, and it's not like he's not doing anything for us. He is there constantly praying to God the Father for us. As Paul tells us in Romans, that he's there interceding for us. But he also is watching us and listening to us. Can we see him? Do we see Jesus now?
No.
But just like parents can watch their babies and listen to their babies, Jesus still watches over us every day, and he listens to us every day. And believe it or not, actually you better believe it, he still talks to us. He doesn't talk in words that we always hear out loud, unless somebody's reading the Bible out loud. Actually, that has a lot of the Bible in there too. One of the important things about Jesus, and one verse I'd like you to remember today, it goes like this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we all say that? I'm going to say it one more time, and then you can all say it with me too. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now all together, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And so even if Jesus were visibly present among us today, and we could see him, and we would say, Jesus, say something to us. You know what he would say? The same things he said to us 2,000 years ago. Because God doesn't change. The way he loves us doesn't change. What he wants us to do doesn't change. And the way he forgives us and the promise of eternal life that he gives to us, that never changes either. So even though you can't see Jesus right now, just like most parents with baby monitors are still watching over their children and listening to their children, Jesus is watching over us and he's listening to us. And he does still talk to us through the words of Scripture. Well, thanks for coming up for the children's message and for the beautiful singing that you did a little bit ago. You can now go back to your seats. And now let us rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1132 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel reading. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is our text. There's this type of restaurant. It's called a fast food restaurant. You go in there usually because you want to get your food fast. But every now and again, you go in there and there's a line and you get in the line and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then you kind of lean over and you look up ahead and see what's taking so long. And there's only like 10, 12 items on the whole menu. And there's this person at the front of the line who's probably been into this restaurant 1,000 times in their life. And they haven't ordered yet. They keep on scanning that board up there with only 12 items on it, and they just can't make up their mind what they want to order. And you think to yourself, it isn't that complicated. But isn't that the way of our human flesh? You often make things more complicated than they need to be. I know when my parents used to come and visit us a long time ago, and they'd stay with us for a little while, and they'd want to go shopping with us, and you know, because they're going to be consuming our food, they wanted to help us out and do a little grocery shopping with us, and my wife would go along with them, with our children. She stopped doing that. It wasn't that we were picking out that many things, but even though my parents were reasonably well off, they'd pick up this box of peas and this box of peas and this bag of peas and check it out in the produce aisle and take out their calculators and, okay, this one is a little more cheap per ounce than the other one. And they do that with just about every single item as my children started to cry. And my wife would come home and say, it's not supposed to be that complicated. Every now and again, as I was growing up in grade school and junior high, and once I remember it even taking place in high school, a teacher would hand out a test, and it was a very difficult test. And they'd start by saying, now make sure you read the instructions carefully before you begin. And within the instructions, it had something like, make sure you read all the questions on this test before you answer any of them. How many of you remember getting a test like that? And sure enough, as people would be handed out the test, they'd kind of glance over the instructions and start answering the questions right away. And then all of a sudden, somebody in class would get up and hand their test in. And you'd be looking at them saying, how did you get it done so fast? And then another person would get up, and then another. I always bombed out on these tests. I just dug in right away trying to answer the questions. Then you get to the last line of the test and it says, this is only a test to see if you can follow instructions. Do not answer any of the questions. Simply put your name on this test and take it back to the teacher. And yet after 20, 30 minutes sometimes, there still would be people sitting there trying to answer all the questions on the test. But it was all there, right in the very first instructions. It's not that complicated. But we have a way of making life much more complicated than it needs to be. What do you want to get done in your life? What do you want to accomplish? We often have dozens, maybe hundreds of things that are on our bucket list, or even our to-do for today or this week list. But if you took that list to Jesus and laid it before him and said, Lord, my life is so complicated. What do I do? You'd probably take that list, crumple it up, throw it in the basket and say to you what he said to our apostles. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Proclaim these things. That's all our Lord really wants us to accomplish in our life. Because in the end, those are the only things that matter. The world, the devil, our sinful nature. We get hung up on all kinds of other things. The have-tos, the want-tos. And we get into panics when our list is not getting done. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's the one thing our Lord wants us to focus on. And it's an incredibly light burden. Even when you fail, which we do as sinners, in trying to accomplish the things the Lord wants us to do, he's there with his forgiveness and his love. The promise of eternal life is always there before us. You can't mess it up except by ignoring it. Because it's based on the sacrifice and the payment of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And not on what we have to do. He made it all so simple for us. And you know, when we do reach life's end, and we look back over our life, and we want to know some things before we die. What do we want to hear from others? And what do we want to tell them? Been at a lot of deathbeds. And it usually comes down to a few simple words. One of the words that's most important is, I love you. And if we have regrets over what we failed to do in life, or regrets over things we did do, the precious words, I forgive you. And if fears of the future are rising in our hearts, which they do because we still have that old sinful flesh clinging to us, the simple words that Christ died for you and me, and that because of what he's done and not because of what we've done, we are guaranteed the gift of eternal life. As Jesus was about to remove his physical presence from the earth, if, in you will, his last appearance before the apostles, he wanted them to understand what it is that was important in life. And what we need to focus on to really understand the scriptures. And it's not that complicated. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Dear friends in Christ, let us make that our aim and keep life simple as God intended it to be. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.